Our next story goes back almost 10 years and halfway around the world to the West African nation of Sierra Leone. During the Civil War there, Americans became aware of the phrase blood diamonds. For more than a decade, rebels in Sierra Leone kidnapped thousands of children to fight with them and to help them extract diamonds from the earth. Producer Deborah George was in Sierra Leone in 2001. She met and interviewed a little girl there and has this story.
It was the rainy season, and I was on my way east to the diamond fields. The road was lined with burnt-out cars and buses. In some places, there were deep pits filled with muddy water, where the rebels had forced people to dig for the diamonds that lay near the surface. Near one village that had been raided by the rebels, I came across a center for children who'd been kidnapped during the war. These children had either escaped or been released during negotiations that were going on between the government and the rebels. Most of them had missed years of school, and even some of the older teenagers were just learning the alphabet. S-Y-Y-Z. The boys had fought as child soldiers. There were girls there, too. I asked if I might speak to some of them, one at a time. The girls told me they'd been kidnapped and forced to work in the diamond mines. They described airplanes landing in the bush, carrying strange white men who brought drugs and weapons to the rebels, and left with the diamonds. One of the littlest girls looked like an old woman in an oversized shirt. Her tiny hands twisted the cloth of her faded lapa.
My name is Bendu Kruma.
Have you ever spoken into a microphone before? No.
I rewound the tape a little and held the headphones to her ear so she could listen. Then I pushed down the record button.
We're starting. Yes.
She made me laugh. Then she launched into her story.
We
are going to get cassava from the bush.
One day when she was about 8 years old, she and some other children had gone to pick cassava leaves. They'd bring them home and pound them with wooden mortars, and their mothers would make a thick stew to eat with rice. Then the rebels attacked.
She was not able to run. She was captured.
The rebels carried her and the other children off to the mines. Bindu said men with assault rifles guarded them while they stood in the pits, sifting the mud for diamonds.
They were using shovels, using shakers, look out for a diamond.
One day, Bindu persuaded the rebels to let her walk a little into the bush to relieve herself. When she was just out of sight, she took off. She ran barefoot for miles till she found her way to a road and then found someone to help her get back to her village. While she'd been gone, her parents had been killed in a raid. The little girl was angry about what had happened to her. Now, she said, she had one wish.
She was always crying for school, to come back to school and have education. She would like to be a teacher. In God's name, as she is saying, that's in God's name.
Can I take your picture?
I took her picture and left. I was standing by the gate to the compound, waiting for a ride when it started raining. All of a sudden, the little girl was at my side with a big black umbrella, trying to hoist it over my head. I took it so we were both covered. Then she put her hand in mine, and we waited together. The French use a warlike phrase to describe love at first sight. They call it a coup de foudre, meaning a kind of lightning bolt to the heart. That's what happened to me in those few minutes there in the rain. The little girl's longing seized my heart. She was way too young to have her dreams be over. And out of all the children I'd met, I thought, this one could make up for the lost time. She could have her childhood back. Together, we could defeat war itself. I got back to the States and sent her picture to a friend, a Sierra Leonean journalist who went and found her. I sent money for her school fees, and eventually I found a boarding school that had reopened when the war ended. There were no books or running water or electricity, but it was safe. Then, finally, after years of red tape, adoption regulations, a child trafficking investigation, Bindu came to the U.S. on a plane by herself.
Hello, my name is Bindu. I'm 11th grade.
Bindu and I live outside Washington, D.C. The kid who ran through the bush to escape the rebels is the fastest girl on her soccer team, covering the ground with long, easy lopes. She loves hip-hop and hamburgers. She doesn't like to talk about the past.
I will remember. When I grow up, when I'm old, I will still remember my stories. I don't forget stuff.
Why don't you like to talk about the past?
Because you see it and you went through it, but...
You like to look to the future.
Yeah. Let's just talk about something now, not like something that passed, right? Let me just wrap it up and... May the Lord be with you. Peace.
Deborah George is a writer and radio producer who lives in Tacoma Park, Maryland. You can see a photo of Deborah and Bindu George on our website, npr.org. Thank you.